This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. So for more on what's moving markets, we have on the line Carlos Casanova, senior economist with private bank UBP. Good morning, Carlos. Happy Friday. Let's start with China, because China's Central Committee meeting ended yesterday. How are those concluding resolutions going to shape the future direction of the Chinese economy?
Good morning and happy Friday, everyone. Well, we will know for sure once they release the press release this morning, expected to be released today. But remember that the meeting that took place this week is very significant because it's the sixth plenum. So China's central committee, that is the top 300 leaders, they meet seven times during the political cycle. But the penultimate time is really the last working meeting, and it's when they discuss all of the issues related to political transition and related to party politics. So given that Xi Jinping is scheduled to take over for another third term, we do expect that something will come out this week highlighting where his political priorities will lie for the next 5 years. So very important meeting to keep an eye on, but we will have more details throughout the day as they come out with press communication.
Yeah, but at the same time, we have noticed that the data coming out of China has been a bit soft. While, you know, China and Hong Kong continue to hold this COVID zero approach and don't look like they're ready to open at least until maybe 2022 later in the year. So what is your short-term outlook on the economy in light of this?
In the case of the economy on the mainland, the focus will continue to strongly be on quality over quantity of growth. So this common prosperity era does herald a new growth trend in the sense that they will no longer pursue, you know, GDP, real GDP growth at all cost. They will most likely refocus their attention. Of course, GDP growth targets won't disappear, but they will most likely refocus their attention on making sure that gross national income levels continue to expand so that the pie is bigger, but it doesn't have to be massively bigger if it's shared more equally between everybody. So that, of course, implies that we are going to be looking at a weaker growth momentum in China. And so within that narrative, it is, you know, and China is a massive country, so it is important for them to continue to stabilize the domestic situation to make sure that, you know, there are no further instabilities, etc., created as a result of COVID. Now, Hong Kong is a slightly different story. So we are still experiencing border measures in Hong Kong within the territory, of course, given the long history of zero cases. So there's been the longest run so far with zero cases because, of course, the border is controlled so strictly. That means that domestic activity is actually feels relatively normal. And we have a bit of a Goldilocks situation with liquidity being so ample ahead of expected rate hikes from the Fed in 2023, that has fueled, you know, the housing bubble in Hong Kong. It has fueled domestic consumption. The government has also issued consumption vouchers. So the Hong Kong economy is in a bit of a Goldilocks scenario this year. And indeed, we do expect that the economy will grow by 6.5%, which is extremely high by historical standards. But they will have to grapple with the base effects and with the reality of having border control measures next year. So we are expecting a slowdown in Hong Kong next year where, again, the way that we think about GDP is slightly different.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the Fed looking to raise rates in 2023, but global inflation, US CPI numbers are touching their highest level in 30 years. I think the recent reading was over 6%.
6.2%.
And I think the talk that the Fed might start raising rates sooner is becoming louder. I guess within Asia, which central banks do you see would likely follow suit if the Fed does raise rates earlier than expected?
Right. Well, we expect inflation to peak in Q4. So the bad news is that the December print will be even higher in the US, and that is going to continue to fuel this fear of US interest rate hikes and stagflation. Now, most of the economists, including those in the working for the Federal Reserve, they expect this to be a temporary increase in inflation, albeit it's becoming very sticky. The Fed has the dual target of inflation and employment right now. So they are able to balance the situation because of this dual target. If you have a stronger rebound in the labor market, and then both the labor market and inflation are, you know, above Fed target or below Fed target in the case of employment, then they really have to react more aggressively than expected. But assuming that the labor market still takes a little bit longer to recover, that means that the Fed will only implement its first interest rate hike in the fourth quarter of next year. That is sort of a scenario that is okay for Asian markets. So we have seen already South Korea, Singapore, and Australia most recently abandoned this yield curve control mechanism. So those developed market central banks have already started to hike rates. New Zealand will follow suit. And we expect that most of the other markets in Asia should be able to sustain this dovish pause, meaning no interest rate hikes, to make sure that this recovery post-COVID, which is taking a little bit longer in Asia, isn't derailed next year throughout at least the first three quarters. But if we have a surprise on the Fed front, that means that some of these markets might not have a choice and might to implement their first rate hike in Q2 or even Q3 next year, as opposed to a current baseline scenario of Q4.
Okay, and Carlos, since we have you on the line, very quickly, what are your expectations for Malaysia's third quarter GDP numbers, which will be released later today?
Right, there's quite a bit of a discrepancy. Of course, you have higher energy prices, which act as a boost. But we've seen the reintroduction of lockdown measures in Malaysia, which of course implies that GDP should re-enter contractionary territory. Our year-end forecast are towards the higher end of Bank Negara's 3-4% target for this year. We expect it to come at 4%. So my expectations for the GDP numbers this year will be that it will be negative, but maybe only in the minus 1-point-something% range, as people are getting more used to living within the constraints of lockdown measures. And you still have online consumption and a little wiggle room within the lockdown measures. But of course, the risks are to the downside, meaning that it could be more negative than that, and potentially GDP for the whole year would miss the 3-4% range.
Carlos, thanks very much for the chat this morning. Have a good weekend ahead. That was Carlos Casanova, senior economist with Private Bank UBP, giving us his thoughts on how China's economy will unfold, as well as his expectations for Malaysia's third quarter GDP announcement later today. He's looking at possibly a negative GDP for the year.
Yeah, well, actually on a quarter-on-quarter basis, I think the Bloomberg shows that analysts that estimate is about negative 2.6%. For most houses, I think they are expecting a dip in the quarter because of the lockdown that we suffered year on year. Whether we might, actually as a result of this, we might be in what they call a technical recession, which is just two quarters of negative growth. Mm-hmm. But the question, I think, is it's pretty much expected. The big question, of course, is 2022. What is recovery going to look like?
Right. Just a correction, negative for the quarter, yeah, not the year. But
Negative for the quarter.
Negative for the quarter, but whether or not we'll be able to meet the 4% growth for the year that was targeted by Bank Negara, that's still an open question. And that's still something that we'll be continuing to look at as we go forward. All right, it's coming up to 7:19 in the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.